better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, God. Yeah. Refiner's fire. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more.
Say that again.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Yes, I do, Lord.
I want more of you. Nothing else will do. Purify my heart. Make it ever true. The one thing I need more is more of you. I need more of you. I've got to have more of you. Lord, nothing else will do. More of you. Just tell him today, I need more of you. Only you can purify me. More of you. Only you can satisfy me. Only you will never deny me. Only you can I find my strength, my song, my rock, my redeemer, my fortress, my tower, my fortune. Everything I want, everything I need. Prince of Peace, satisfy my every need. Stay closer than a brother, more loving than my mother. Yeah, yeah. All I want to need, I can find it in you. No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be
than hearing your love. Hearing your love,
no place I'd rather be.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be
than hearing your love.
Hearing your love.
Thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. Just take this opportunity to just worship him today. Lift your hands to him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the things you've done. Father, I thank freedom in this place. Father, I thank you for your healing in this place. Father, I thank you didn't bring us here to leave us the same, but you caused us to be changed. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beats. This love is so deep, it's more than I could stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. It's so easy. It says, the more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
The more I find you.
Yes.
The more I love you.
Sing that again. The more I seek you.
The more I seek you. The more I find you.
Thank you, Lord. The more I find you.
The more I find you.
The more I love you. Sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, fill your heartbeats. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. More I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you, the more I seek you, the more. The more I love you, thank you, Lord. Father, you said if we seek after you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Father, that's what we want to do all the days of our lives. Father, help us to put you first in everything we're doing. Father, we want to follow you. Let's just sing that first part. The more I seek you,
the more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
Sing that one more time. Come on. The more I seek you,
the more I seek you.
Come on.
The more I seek you,
the more I find you,
the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you.
I love you, I love you. 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 And my heart will follow wholly after. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And my heart will follow wholly after. I love you, I love you, I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you.
And my heart will follow wholly after you.
Hearts will follow wholly after you.
Yes, it will, Lord. And my heart
will follow wholly after you.
Yes, it will, Lord.
And my heart will follow.
In his presence tonight. He wants to hear from you. Just get lost in his presence tonight. In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is peace. Everyone in here, just to stand up one more time. I just want you to raise your hands one more time. I just want you to tell the Lord how good he is. Just take this opportunity right now to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. I once was held in sin, but I've been delivered. Thank you, Lord. My life is not my home. Thank you, Lord. I've been bought. I'm born again, delivered. God, you're so good to me. I will not be held by my past. I will not be held by my past. I will do what you want me to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I tell you what, God is so good. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Laverne. I tell you what, Pastor Jerry came up to preach about, I don't know, 10 years ago at our church. And I never really realized how good I had it. How good of a pastor I had till he came up and preached. And I don't think I ever had the opportunity to tell you that, but I feel blessed and honored to be raised in part by you guys. Thank you for your years of service and feeding into my life. My wife should be so grateful to you guys.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me worship.
Oh, praise Amen. The Lord, Joshua.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's give God a praise. Let's just clap Hallelujah. The Lord for what He's done. For what He's done. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. I tell you what, when you look around and you see the sons and the daughters that God has placed somewhere, but they're still a part of our lives. This is home. This has been Camp Meeting Homecoming.
Amen.
And when your children all get Amen. Together,
yes,
you just want to keep going and going, don't you?
Amen.
I want to share something here real quickly. And following this, we're going to be receiving our evening offering. But what I want to share is this. 34, 35. How old are you, Joshua? 34 or 35? 34. This morning, Brother Jim's message, when he was talking about bringing to birth and having to push and having to give birth and not to sense that you have failed in anything. 34 years ago, and it was time for this young man that just got through ministering to you to be born. Bonnie's at the hospital. We're there with Richard. And their first son, they had to have a C-section. So they're, you know, they got some faith now. They're believing God. We're not going to have to do that this time. This one's going to be born natural. And they confessed that and they believed that. And the day came for the birth and we were there at the hospital. And it just wasn't happening. And the levels, enzyme levels and stuff were showing stress on Joshua and stress on his mom. And finally the doctor said, this is as long as we're going to wait, we're going to have to do a C-section. Well, that was... At that moment, a crashing blow for them. I don't know how Bonnie was handling it. She's in a whole different situation than what we were standing out there in a waiting room. But I could see Richard. And I saw the tears. And I still remember... We walked out somewhere in the hallway, and there was a window, and there was a handrail along the bottom of the window, and he stood there, and he looked out that window, and I was standing next to him, and he was weeping. And you know, that would have been a good time to have given up. That would have been a good time to say, well, this doesn't work. I'm just going to go ahead and do something else. God doesn't hear me. These things don't happen. If God was real and He cared about me, this would have worked. You know, I never heard Him say any of that stuff. And I knew that because of the circumstances, His heart was wounded. I could tell that. There, you know, just weeping. And He stood there for a few seconds doing that. And then He said this. Devil, you may have won this time, but you won't win the next one. And that's what Brother Jim was talking about this morning with the determination to press on. They went on and had two more sons. They had them at home by natural birth. And the reason, part of the reason, is because two C-sections, they're not even going to wait on you for the third one. And they knew if they had went to the hospital, they wouldn't even give them a chance to have it naturally. And they had it at home. I didn't recommend them doing it because they weren't doing it on my faith. We stood with them, and many times we kept our mouths shut because we weren't going to say anything negative. And so it's better to say nothing at all. And both times the boys that were born, Samuel and Caleb, both times we were out of town. Miracles. I thanked him after we got back. We were in Korea on a missions trip. Church seminar on world missions. And we got back home, and I thanked them for having that baby while we were out of the country. Amen. But anyway, here's the results. This young man up here, and as far as I can tell, or as far as I can remember, outside my family, my granddaughters, I think he may be the only person that I was personally with in the hospital. Now, we've seen a lot of them right after, but the only one that I can remember us being there other than family ever. So you're privileged. That's why we bonded too well. We were there and we went through that with you. Amen. Well, I would like for us to prepare now to receive the offering. If you're here and you're a church member, you got a offering, you got a tithe, someone other mark that so we'll know that it'll go into the general fund. Otherwise, this is a CAM meeting offering. But if you're going to give for both, distinguish one of them and say, some way or other, write on your check, regular offering or CAM meeting or whatever. Rather than taking up two offerings tonight, we're just going to take the one. So if I could have the ushers to come forward. Amen. I don't see anybody in the sound booth. They're all deserting me. Hallelujah. So I'll say a prayer. I'm going to do better than that. Brother Jim, come up here and pray over the offering. Yeah.
Just sing a love song to him.
For the Lord is holy.
Hallelujah.
Now, Pastor Laverne, do you want to introduce our speaker, or do you want me to do it from back here? All right. This is our boy. Grew up here. Teenagers, practically. I don't know. Were you a teenager, too? I know Bonnie was when you started. You were an adult. Okay. I know some adult teenagers. My wife was an adult teenager at 18. But they were here with us for about 18 years, is that right? About 18 years, and God called them out and sent them up north. And I'm glad it was him instead of me. But we're proud of them and their family and all that God's done through them. And I'd like to introduce you, make welcome, Brother Richard Pierce. Where is that mic, Jim? Hallelujah. Well, we're here for whatever God wants to do. You don't have any order. It's on the side.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tell me your name again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I hear the Lord say, I put my hand upon your life and even at an early age so that I might begin to implant my seed within you. For the Lord says, son and daughter, you've not seen anything yet, but I'm about to do a work even in your life that's going to just cause your mind to swim over the ideas that of my greatness being delivered in and to you. And the Lord says, I'm going to begin to cause even new songs to rise up in your heart. And the Lord says, songs that you've not sung are songs that others have not sung, but songs that are birthed from my spirit, said God. And even as they begin to come forth, they're going to carry a weightiness of my presence and a weightiness of my glory. And you're going to begin to see a release, says the Lord. And the Lord says, even a quickening of my spirit begin to be come upon you. And the Lord says, even team ministry coming forth, said God, that's going to begin to cause a new strength and a new boldness to enter both of you. And the Lord says, even as I begin to do this, the Lord says, I want you to understand that where you're at now is just a platform. It's not a place that you're staying, said God, but it's a place that I've got you now as a training ground so that I might begin to implement my plan in your life and that I might begin to cause my purposes to come to fruition. And the Lord says, even as you're crying out at times in frustration, even as you're crying out, said, but God, there's got to be more. God, I know within my spirit, man, that there's more, but I can't grab a hold of it. I can't seem to get it to go. And the Lord says, son and daughter, you're even in your stage now where I'm about to cause that to be broken out of your life, said the Lord, where I'm about to cause things to begin to rise up in you and new vision begin to come forth, says the Lord, and even a new boldness, even as you begin to speak, says God, and it's not going to be a thing where you have to push and a thing where you have to struggle, but it's going to be a thing, said God, birth of my spirit, and as you begin to release your words, you're going to begin to see things begin to fall in line, said God. For the Lord says, even when you try to put things in line, and even when you try to bring order to the situation, it seemed like you put it in and things jump back out. You put it in and things jump back out. But the Lord said, I'm going to give you a strategy, and I'm going to give you a boldness, and I'm going to give you authority, that when you begin to speak and you begin to call things forth, they're going to come into place, they're going to come into alignment, and you're going to see, said God, that that which was hard suddenly becomes easy, for I'm moving by my spirit, and I'm well pleased with your tenacity, said God. I'm well pleased that you'd stuck it out. I'm well pleased that you've stepped into it. But the Lord says, you've stepped into something you didn't even know what you were stepping into. But now, said God, you're going to step into something as I give you strategy, as I release my anointing, as I cause you to begin to see with new understanding and new vision. And the Lord says, it's going to become easy for you, said God. And that which has been work shall suddenly become rest, says the Lord. And you enjoy the blessings of the Lord upon your life, declares the Lord. Glory to God.
And the pathway that I've set before you is one that's not going to be marked by anything anyone else has done. For out of your own uniqueness and out of your own abilities that I've placed within you, I'm going to launch you in a greater measure. You're going to begin to see yourself through new eyes and with a new authority you're going to be able to step into that your own, says God. For there is, just like I just see, like a bubble wrapped around the two of you, and the Father has just engulfed you. And there's a passion and there's a relentlessness about the two of you that does usher in the holiness of God. And I'm telling you, I haven't felt that in a long time, brother. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Amen. Don't belittle or think lightly of that mantle that's on your life. Because it's unique and it's rare. Amen. And let me tell you, woman of God, you speak. You release the word of the Lord. And it will hit the mark. It's going to penetrate the hearts of people. There is a word that's embedded down on the inside of you, and there's something inside of you. You can sense it bubbling, and then you kind of just want to shrink back. And God said, go ahead and step out there. And as you step out there, I'm going to be right there with you. Amen. He's going to be right there with you. You release the word, and you watch God do the miraculous. You watch God move in your behalf. Amen. I just see God just even adding people to you all. There's going to be a greater resources and people that are coming. That's going to be a strength to the two of you. Amen. Especially I see in the next 2 years. The Lord just really, really just causing, it's like a new people coming to the two of you. Amen. That's going to have the likeness of heart and the likeness of spirit. It's almost like I'm going to send you my Jonathan. Amen. I'm going to send you my Jonathan. He's not there yet, but he's on his way. Amen.
And let me just add this. I just really feel strong in my spirit. Dare to be different. Dare to be different. Throw out all the mindsets, the patterns of everybody else, and do your own thing. Dare to be different.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm not used to these newfangled things. I better watch it. Hallelujah. Well, we're honored to be here today. We really are. And it's a joy for us. It's a double joy for us, especially because you came. And you came to hear the word of the Lord. And then there's an extra joy because we do have one of our sons and his family with us, part of his family. And we're thrilled and honored, and I would have paid for all three nights in a motel room, and I'd have paid for his motel room, and I'd have paid for all of our meals, just to get that prophecy over you guys. Wow. No, wait, no, come here. Yeah, I just want. And most of you know my wife, Bonita, and I thought it was interesting how Pastor kind of like almost how do I introduce you? Like, is it Brother Richard? And we're okay with whatever. I go by Richard and Bonita, or you know, just as long as you don't call me late for supper and you put money in the offering plate, I'm okay. And if you forgot the plate, I'll give you my mailing address. Not really, but anyways, we're honored to be here. And this is my wife, Bonita. And would you like to say a word, sweetheart?
Praise the Lord.
Go ahead and say it then.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. All right, well, she's a sweetheart. 37 years, and congratulations on 46 years. That was just phenomenal. I thought, man, they invited us here for their anniversary. And they had you and I preaching on their anniversary on purpose. God never does anything by accident. And I know there's a purpose for everything under the sun. Amen?
Amen.
But we really are honored to be here tonight. Last night, I think Pastor got up and said something about us being a dessert. You know, after... I'm just thankful that I don't feel like I have to compete with anybody.
Amen.
I'm just me. And, you know, you will either love me or you'll learn to love me. Okay. And I'm telling you right now, I cannot compete. with Dr. Childs or Sister Connie. But I don't have to, and I know I don't have to. And I can't compete with the minister last night, but I'm just me, and I'm just going to be me. Is that okay? I'm just a down-home kind of guy, and, you know, spent 18 years here, 20 years actually in Kentucky. Our children were all born and bred Kentuckians, but thank God they've been delivered, and they're now Ohio State fans. No. I can't say that. That's not true. UK, one of them are really hot on UK just because he married a UK girl. But we don't hold that against her. You know, that's the only fault we can find in our daughter-in-law. And we have looked and looked, and the only thing we see is good in her. Except for maybe, you know, I like UK too, when they're not playing Ohio State or Michigan State or Michigan. But let's go on. My wife says move on. And I need to. Hallelujah. Well, just let me settle down a little bit here, all right? And Tony and Delita Molesby, we were talking about you today. God bless you. Hallelujah. Did you know they were here, Pastor? Well, God bless you. We are just honored to have you guys here. We had their kids in youth ministry. Man, I'm telling you. Oh, give them a hand. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you to all the visitors who came. I don't know. Half of you I only know by face because we were here a couple years ago, but most of you I don't really know your names, but we're honored to meet you and met some of you before service tonight for the first time, actually, and we're honored to have all the visitors. Is that all right to say that? This is home for me. This is my home church. This is really our home church when we're not at our home church. We haven't been at our home church for 7 weeks, so our pastor is probably wondering what's going on with those people. But we've just been traveling and ministering and been up at Courts of Praise with our son a few of those weeks and stuff. So, but let's just pray, all right? Father, we thank you for your presence. And Lord, it doesn't really matter what I say today. I could just speak anywhere out of your word and you would honor your word. But Father, I pray for every person here that what you have me say today forms a point of deliverance in our lives or sets a target for them to shoot for spiritually. Or, Father, causes a challenge to rise up inside of them. Father, that causes a passion for Jesus to rise up inside of them. And I thank you for freedom in every life in this place tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, I don't care what bondage is here right now. In the name of Jesus, we break every bondage that is here, and we speak the freedom that's found in the name of Jesus and through relationship with Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I really did want to minister on killer grasshoppers tonight, but I just couldn't make it work, and the Lord wouldn't let me make it work. So I thought it would be cute. But how many of you know God doesn't care if you're cute or not, as long as you follow Him and obey Him, amen? He doesn't give a rip about what you think about yourself as long as what you think about Him is the highest priority. My wife and I learned several years ago, and by the way, my wife and I are almost a miracle in one sense, Lord, because I'll be honest with you, just a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, our relationship was down the drain. I mean, we were hurting. We were hurt people, and we were hurting each other. And thank God, God got a hold of us. I mean, we were hurting pastors. But God got a hold of us. And no, neither one of us committed adultery, so don't go there in your minds. Please don't do that. Let's just clear the air right now. You know, when you start talking about giving, people automatically think about money. When you start talking about marriage trouble, people think about adultery. There was none of that. But God has done a work in our marriage that has just radically changed the way we treat each other now. And I am thankful for that. He actually taught me how to listen. I didn't say she, I said he. He taught me how to listen. But he did use her a lot. But we've been going through, we go through marriage classes. We've already been through a session, a 14-week session, and I'm not ashamed of it. I thank God for it. And we're going again because we've learned so much the first session. We said, you know, I don't understand these people that say, well, I heard the word of healing one time. I never need to hear it again. I'm not that kind of person. I got to hear it over and over and over and over. And I'll do whatever it takes to have the best marriage on the face of this earth. And the reason why I'm as young looking as I am is because I got a wife who loves me and takes care of me. And I got a, I have a God whom I honor, and in turn he honors me. And so I just thank God for that. And most of you guys are real young looking too. As a matter of fact, every one of you are real young looking for your age here. Now I'm preaching. Now I'm going to start meddling. Okay, can I start meddling? Open your Bibles to John chapter 4. And I am just going to share, I did share some of this, some of what is I'm going to share tonight. I think I shared a couple or 3 years ago, but I'm not sure. So if I did, just act like I didn't and get really excited about what I share. Okay, just, wow, that's awesome, Pastor. I mean, brother, that's awesome, brother. You just set me on fire with the word, and that's what I'm believing for tonight. Amen. The word will set you on fire. And if you ever call my office phone, you'll find out that the name of our ministry is Proclaiming God's Passion Ministries. And the reason why I came up with that is because I felt like God told me to, because you are His passion. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You're His passion. He's passionate about you. Yeah. He loves you with a passionate love. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, and so when I get passionate sometimes, I'm not angry. Well, don't ask my wife that, but no, seriously, when I get passionate in my preaching, it's not because I'm angry, it's because there's a passion inside of me that has to come out, and it's going to come out one way or another. It might come out through weeping, and it might come out through shouting, and it might come out through jumping and dancing. And let me say this while I'm at it. Come on. We need to loosen up when we're praising God. We need to be biblical. Yeah. Is that all right to say that? We need to lift our hands and praise God because the Bible says so. How hard is it to obey the word? It's easy. We need to dance before the Lord because the Bible says so. Sometimes we need to run, and sometimes we need to leap, and sometimes we need to just kneel down and weep. But we need to loosen up. We need to get a hold of our passion again for Jesus. I'm more passionate about my wife after 37 years than I was the day I married her. And I was passionate then. But we need a passion for Jesus, because I'm going to tell you, He's got a passion for you. He's got a passion for you. He jumps over you. He dances over you. He rejoices over you. I remember several years ago, I don't know how many years ago now, Pastor, it's probably been 25 years ago, we were having camp meeting over in the Red Room over there before we built a new sanctuary. And the place was packed. Church was going on long. And we were up, I was part of the worship team. I think I was worship leader at the time or something anyways. I was up there in my suit. And I had a vision during for lack of better words, the altar service, but we were just soaking in the presence of God. You know, we talk about soaking nowadays like it's a new thing. Yeah. It ain't new, honey. We used to do it years ago. Yeah. And we were just soaking in the presence of God and enjoying the presence of God. And I saw in a vision, I saw Jesus just dancing for me. I said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, I'm dancing over you. My word says I will rejoice over you with rejoicing, and it literally means to dance. I said, wow. I said, well, then can I do somersaults or something for you? And I knew I couldn't do a somersault even then. And he said, sure. I got down on the platform, and I rolled all the way across the front of the church. Just, you know what? And I didn't have too much time to think about it. And if I would have, I wouldn't have done it. But I enjoyed it. Who cares? People probably thought I was nuts, but they thought the apostles were drunk on the day of Pentecost anyways. So who cares? We're filled with the Spirit. We're saved and sanctified and filled with the Spirit. And we act like we got nothing. And we got everything. We got Jesus. What more do you need than Jesus to get you excited?
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. What more do you need? Yeah. And I know we all have issues and we all have life's pressures. Trust me, we wouldn't have been, our marriage would have never got to where it was if we didn't have issues. But we had them and we dealt with them, praise God, and we're still dealing with them. Amen. In a good way. How many of you know it's better to deal with an issue in a good way than it is to bury your head in the sand and act like it ain't there, honey? It don't work. Oh, it works all right, but it works in reverse. Hallelujah. Well, John chapter 4. Are you there? Say amen if you're John chapter 4. Amen. All right, we're going to start with verse 4. And Jesus is traveling on. He's going to Jerusalem, but he's going by way, basically, of... he's going by way of... I got to get to John chapter 4. of Samaria. So verse 4, we're going to pick it up right in verse 4. It was necessary for him to go through Samaria, and in doing so, and by the way, I am reading out of the Amplified, I'll forewarn you. I got delivered and started using a Bible that I really enjoyed. Yeah. And in doing so, he arrived at a Samaritan town called Sychar, near the tract of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down to rest by the well. It was then about the sixth hour. Presently, when a woman of Samaria came along to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone off into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan and a woman, for a drink? For the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you had only known and had recognized God's gift and who this is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him instead, and he would have given you living water." I love that. She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, into no drawing bucket, and the well is deep." By the way, let me just give you a little bit of information on this well. This well, if I'm not mistaken, was the well Jacob dug. I believe it was the well. But the place where this well was the first stopping point Abram stopped when he came out of the land of Ur. And God said, "I want you to leave the land of your family, the land of Ur, and go into a place where I'll show you." And right here where this well was built was Abram's first stopping point. Not only was it Abram's first stopping point, and I keep saying Abram because he wasn't Abraham yet, he was still Abram. Not only was it his first stopping point, but it was the first place God made a covenant with him. I love it. A covenant-keeping God. And so, years later, Abraham buys this field from oh my goodness, I forgot their names now. But they were the sons of Hamor or something like that. He buys this field and a few acres around it, and he builds a well, and Jacob digs a well. And this well is about 9 feet wide and 35 yards deep. So how many of you know when the woman said, I mean, we're not, you know, we picture a little wishing well, don't we? Yeah, right. Well, let's throw a penny in and hope we get something back. I hope you don't throw your pennies in. Give them to the poor or something, you know. Don't throw them in the wishing wells. You're not getting nothing back. But anyways, we picture a little well. And it was a deep, deep, 35 yards deep. That's, how many feet is that? 105 feet? And the bottom 5 yards, even now, even today, there's water in that well. That's pretty cool. Now it's under a building and you got to roll the stone away and stuff. But there is actually water still in that well to this day. I thought that was pretty cool. So here Jesus is, and he looks at this woman, and in this woman, she's a Samaritan woman, and she's a woman. You know, and back in Jesus' time, there was not a whole lot of goings on between men and women. Sadly, I mean, in one sense, Lord, it was sad because, you know, women were considered second-class citizens, literally, in the time of Jesus. Thank God you ladies have been set free. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so this woman looks at Jesus and she says, "Well, how in the world are you going to ever get a bucket down there into that well?" So let's move on here. She said to him, "Sir," verse 11, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. How then can you provide living water? Where do you get your living water. Don't you just love how Jesus brings life into everything he died to? Everything. Everything he touches is life. Every time he talks, it's life. Jesus will never talk death. He'll never talk defeat. He'll never talk sickness. He only talks health. He never talks poverty. He only talks blessing or prosperity. That's just the way he is. She said to him, verse 12, "Are you greater than and superior to our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and who used to drink from it himself and his sons and his cattle also?" And Jesus answered her, "All who drink of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I give him shall become a spring of water welling up, that is flowing, bubbling continually within him for eternal life." And how many of you know eternal life doesn't start the day you die? Eternal life started the day you were born. I didn't say born again. I said born from the womb. You started eternal life whether you realize it or not. Amen. And it didn't start the day you were born again. The woman said to him, "Sir," I love this, "give me this water so that I may never get thirsty nor have to come continually all the way here to draw." We're going to stop right there for just a minute. Because the first thing that I want us to see today is that in the life of Jesus, when you follow his life, you will find one thing that is always at work in his life. That one thing is an outflow of blessing to others. He's always out to find somebody and bless them. He's always out to be a blessing. Now, the theme of the camp meeting, I think, unless I misunderstand, is overflowing, the presence of the Lord overflowing up out of you and just, I hope, blessing other people, not just yourself. It's easy to bless ourselves, but sometimes it's so hard to bless other people. You know, I'm a painter by trade, and I minister. We travel and we minister and stuff also. But my main trade is painting. And part of being a painter is stripping wallpaper. Who in here loves to strip wallpaper? I thought so. Oh, one person loves to strip wallpaper. Two people. Okay, they've never done it before. That's why. If you have ever stripped wallpaper and done it right, you don't like it or something's wrong with you. And so people will call me. Sometimes they say, "Well, do you strip wallpaper?" And I used to say, "Yes, I do. I'll give you a bid." After the second job of wallpaper stripping I did, I learned that you never give a bid on wallpaper stripping. Never. If you do, you might, what I call, luck out sometimes. You might bid a job at 10 hours and finish it in 2. But if you bid a job at 10 hours, which for me, stripping wallpaper, I charge for because I hate it so much, and people amazingly pay it because they hate it more than I do. And so I charge $30 an hour to strip wallpaper. Everybody say, that's a lot of money. But it's well worth it to the customer because they do not want to get in and do what I'm doing. And then I do my wall prep after that, and I still charge a $30 an hour rate for wall prep. Because I have to have, when you strip wallpaper, you leave gouges sometimes in the wall, and it's got to be fixed if you want your ending job to look good, okay? I'm going somewhere with this. I'll figure out where when I get there. But anyways, so I strip wallpaper only if I have to, and I tell people I honestly don't want to. But if you want me to, I will. And it'll be $30 an hour. And after the second job, the first job I did, I bid it out, and it took me about 2 hours, and I think I bid it on 5 hours. Well, customers don't like thinking that you just made $75 an hour on them. They have a problem. People are greedy. I mean, what's wrong with God blessing me is what I want to say, right? But people get greedy. So, you what? You charged me $150 and you'd work 2 hours? Ain't right. Just ain't right. But anyways, so I had to readjust what I was doing. And now if it takes me 10 hours, I recently did a job and I bid it out at, I said it may take 15 to 18 hours to do it. And it took me 27 hours. But I told him ahead of time, it's $30 an hour. Well, he paid it. He had to pay me some the next day, but he paid it when I finished the whole job. But I was on that job with this particular guy and found out that he was Jewish. Now, we're talking about overflow. I told you I'd know where I got, when I got there, I know where I was going. We're talking about overflow. And because I am a passionate person almost all the time, I really am. People, I go on paint jobs, I'm whistling and singing, and I don't even realize I'm whistling most of the time. People tell me, you whistle all the time. You must be a happy person. It gives me an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. And I usually do. But I found out that this guy, this particular guy, was Jewish. I mean, Jewish. I mean, synagogue-going Jewish. Now, I'm Jewish. Look at the nose. Tell me that's not a Jewish nose. Y'all laughing at my nose. I got a Jewish nose, and I'm proud of it. Okay with it. I really am Jewish. I really am. My grandpa, my grandfather, his mama was Jewish, full-blooded Jewish, if there ever is such a thing, anyways. His daddy was a Gentile. She got pregnant out of wedlock, and her parents told her if she married this Gentile, they would write her out of the family. So, and she couldn't have the baby either. So they took the baby after she had it and dropped it off at an orphanage, and so my grandfather grew up in an orphanage. But I found out I was Jewish. I'm Jewish, he's Jewish, he's not a Christian, and I am. So what is my response? Oh boy, how can I get this guy? And he's about my age too, and I love it when I meet people my age. You know, there's a guy back here that's almost older than me. He's actually younger. He is a month older, by the way. I want everybody to know he's older than me, that guy back there in that yellow plaid shirt. But anyways, I love it when I run into men my age because I find that men my age have the same things in life that I do. They're dealing with the same issues in their marriage. They're dealing with the same issues in their body. They're dealing with the same issues in their finances that I'm dealing with. How many of you know that people are common? Everybody is common to each other. And so what I try to do is, because Jesus loves me with such a passion, I can't help but love other people with a passion. And if that means offending them over their Jewish tradition, then I do it. But I don't do it on purpose. So we were talking, I thought, he's Jewish. I'm Jewish. How can I reach this guy with Jesus? Because he didn't talk like a Christian. I didn't know Jewish people could cuss like that. Okay. I didn't know Jewish people were like that. I thought all Jewish people were sweet and wonderful, just like me. Because I'm part Jewish. And if you're part Jewish, you're like me. Okay. So anyways, we're talking, and we're talking about stripping the paper, and we're actually doing it. He's actually helping me. Because you know why he's helping me? Because he's Jewish and he wants to save money. Yeah. He said, when I've been out the job, can I help you? I said, sure, you can help me. I'm honored to have help. I'm not going to pay you $30 an hour to help me, but you will save money off of your total bill. He said, I'm all for that. I'm Jewish. He didn't really say, I'm all for that. I'm Jewish. But he said, I'm all for that. And he's Jewish. And I'm Jewish. And I know how Jewish people think somewhat. Okay. Move on. My wife says, again, she's my helper. No, she didn't say it this time. But so anyways, We're stripping paper away, and I'm starting to talk about Jesus. He looks at me in his Jewish voice and his Jewish face, and he looks Jewish too. He was almost wearing a what is those things called? Yarmulke?
You're more Jewish than me.
Yeah, you guys are more Jewish than me. Anyway, and he looked like he could have worn one of those. You know, his head was bald pretty much and stuff. Anyways, that's enough of that. He does go to synagogue, though, pretty much every week. So I start talking about Jesus. He said, yeah, he looks at me. He says, yeah, I never could understand. He said, I tell people that try to talk to me about Jesus, I don't understand why you would want to worship a brother of mine. And I said, just before I could even think, it was like, yeah, the Bible says Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. I need to repeat that. Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. In other words, we're talking family connection here. We're talking blood covenant here. We're talking about this brother that died for you. This brother that died to redeem you. And I mean, we just went on. Finally, after about a half hour, he said, "You're just not going to shut up, are you?" And he's paying me to witness to him. I mean, how blessed can you be? Somebody pays you to try and convert him to Christianity. I didn't want to convert him to Christianity. I just wanted him to accept Jesus as his Savior. And so finally, you know, over the next couple of days, we would talk a little bit about Christianity and about the Jewish faith. And he knows much more about the Jewish faith than I do. But I found out he knows more Jewish principles. But I know more relational scriptures. And how many of you know that people are not looking for principles? They're looking for relational things. He never did pray the quote-unquote the sinner's prayer, but I planted a seed. And I believe to this day, and this was about 3 months ago, he still texts me every now and then on my cell phone. And I've been done with the job for two months now. I believe that seed I planted is going to grow. And it's going to produce salvation in him. Why? Because I planted a salvation seed. Nothing else. Just salvation. Just the blood. Just that Jesus loves you passionately. Well, the first thing I want us to see today was witnessing is natural. Yeah. It's natural. Being a witness is natural. I remember Tony and Delita Mosby, man, when we were youth pastors here and they were part of this church, they would bring people to church all the time. They opened doors for people to experience Jesus Christ. They didn't open doors for people. You didn't open doors for people to experience a principle. You open doors for people to experience a relationship. And that's the thing that is still flowing out of your life. I still sense that today. That relational experience that you want people to have is still there. Still there. And you can't stop it, can you? I mean, it almost makes you want to weep, doesn't it? Just because Jesus is still drawing. And he's still drawing on that gifting that he placed inside of you. Why? Why does he do that? Because he's so passionately in love with you guys. Doesn't matter what you've been through. See, it doesn't matter what I was through. It doesn't matter the fact that my wife and I, we would have never got divorced because, bless God, we don't believe in divorce. And we wouldn't have. We would have just stayed married miserable. But it doesn't matter what you're through, what you've been through. What matters is if you keep Jesus Christ as the center of your life. And I used to think that Jesus was first in my life. The only thing is, and this is just for me, this is not necessarily for you here. It might fit some of you, it might not. Don't wear it if it doesn't fit it. Don't wear it if it doesn't fit you. I had to come to the point where I took Jesus from being number one in my life and I made him the very central part of my life. Because I found myself failing when he was number one. But when he's a central figure of my life, he's a central part of my life, then all of my focus starts here and goes here where Jesus is. It starts where the presence of the Lord is, and all of my focus all of a sudden changes again. And see, Jesus went to the well. I'll guarantee you, he wasn't surprised when that woman walked up. Why? Because Jesus has a passion for everybody. Even though at this time the Samaritans, they weren't even involved in the kingdom of God. They didn't even have a right, except Jesus at this point made a right for the Samaritans or the Gentiles, you and me, to come into the kingdom by invitation. What an invitation. Lady, if you knew who I was, you would ask for me and I would give you living water. And she said, oh, Jesus, Jesus, give me this living water that I never have to come here and draw water again. She's still on the natural level. How many of us sometimes so often stop at the natural level and Jesus is saying, come over to the supernatural level. And that's why I value the prophetic gift so much. Because you guys kick out the natural and you kick into the supernatural. You know. That's why I value the Word of God so much, because this Word of God is not a natural book. So the first thing is witnessing is natural. The second thing is this. I'm sorry, it's still the first thing. Living a life of overflow. Oh, I'm ahead of myself. Second thing is this. Witnessing is supernatural. Let's just read on the next verse here. And I have to take my glasses off because my eyes don't want to adjust properly. Yet. At this, verse 16, that's where we stopped. Are you there? At this, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come back here. I love that. I love that. How many of you know Jesus had a word of knowledge all of a sudden? What's taking place right now? He had a word of knowledge. You say, well, I thought he knew everything. I'm not sure he knew everything at this point. I'm sure that he operated according to the Holy Ghost. And I know the Holy Ghost had to say to him, hey, guess what, Jesus? She's not married. She's not married. And she's been married 5 times. This woman was one obnoxious woman, let me tell you. She couldn't get along with 5 husbands. Oh, I shouldn't have said, now I'm meddling, huh? Pastor's not going to have me back after this, but no, I'm kidding. She had to be obnoxious. Come on. Listen, they say there's 2 variables in every equation. If you're the variable that's always in the midst of trouble and it's somebody and somebody and somebody and then by the end of it, you're singing, I ain't got nobody. Okay, we'll move on. I don't know if she was obnoxious or not. She must have been. Hard to get along with, at least. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have spoken truly in saying, I have no husband. I love it. For you have had 5 husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. In this you have spoken truly. Now, this is where sometimes us Yankees can get obnoxious. Because, honey, I don't know how else to say this, but this ain't Central Kentucky confrontation going on. Come on, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Jesus could have been, if he'd have been a woman, right now he'd have had his hands on his hips. He said, woman, girlfriend, you, that ain't even y'all, you've lived with 5 husbands. What's the matter with you, lady? And that just wouldn't work in South Central Kentucky. So Jesus probably said it like this. Oh, you're so right. Let me do this to my wife. Oh, this is something we've learned. Oh, bummer.
Yeah, could be that.
Yeah, oh, bummer. Or, oh, that can't be good. What I hear you saying is you've had 5 husbands, and you haven't got along with any of them. They're still alive, by the way. And the man you're living with now is not even your husband. Oh, what are we going to do? Okay, you're laughing at me, but that is part of our marriage technique, okay? It works. Trust me, the other part, you ain't talking to me that way, buddy, don't work. Uh-oh. And y'all laughing at me, but my wife, listen, she went to school in the first year. They had forced segregation in Michigan. Desegregation. Yeah, forced. So she was in the culture that she was not used to, and I married into that culture, whether I realize it or not. But I thank God for that.
Amen.
Because this has done a lot for me. Right. Amen. And I honored her. So Jesus said to her, "You're right." The second thing I want you to see about this little story about Jesus' life is this. That passion can become confrontational. Yeah. And confrontation is not always fun. I mean, that woman could have looked at Jesus and said, "Who in the world do you think you are? You just talked to me about giving me living water. Now you're condemning me for living with a man." Did Jesus condemn her?
No.
No. There was no condemnation in him at all. He just said, "You're right. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband now." There was no condemnation. He was being honest. You see, back when we were youth pastors, it broke my heart. Back when we were youth pastors here at New Life Christian Fellowship, and our youth group was on fire. I mean, we had kids, they were getting saved, and kids were getting healed, and we were running 25, 26, 27 kids on, Wednesday nights? Wednesday nights, they were coming to church. Teenagers. And during that time, there were a couple of instances in Adair County, and one of them in particular where there were either four or five young men in a car. And across the street from Adair County High School, the old Adair County High School, whatever it was, there used to be this huge tree. Huge tree. Out in near a ball field or something, across the street. Yeah. And one night, four or five of these young men were drinking in the car. And they decided to drive around there about 120 miles an hour. And they wrapped that car around that tree, and every one of them were instantly into eternity. And what hurt me so much was that Adair County could have used that as an example. Not in a condemning way, but that is an example of this is what happens when you allow a substance to control you. And I wanted to say, besides Jesus Christ. But this is what can happen when you allow a substance to control you. And you give yourself over to it. And you follow alcohol with a passion. You can die. But you know what? Instead they did, because some of the young men were from prominent families in Adair County. They covered it up. They covered it up. A waste. Five human lives wasted. Five young men today that could have been senators or congressmen or doctors or lawyers or farmers or whatever. But their lives were stolen. For what? For some prideful family to have it covered up. I hope none of that family's here tonight, but if you are, I forgive you. As a youth pastor, loving kids, teenagers, seeing how much they needed Jesus Christ, why do you want to cover something like that up? If Jesus were here, he'd have walked up to the family and he'd have said, he's wrapped his arms around him and he said, "I'm so sorry your kids died. I'm so sorry you're going through what you're going through right now. But I want you to know something. I can deliver the rest of your families from alcohol." Just think the outcome would have been. Just think what the outcome would have been. We were pastoring up in Troy, Ohio for 13 years, and my son is now the pastor of the church, and I thank God for that. There was a young man who died about 5 years ago. We were still pastoring. He died because he was driving recklessly. He was 16 years old. Already had three accidents before that. They weren't life-threatening, but he had already had three accidents. He had his license literally a month and a half or 6 weeks. Listen, parents, let me ask you a question. When did you go brain dead? Your kids have 3 accidents in 6 weeks, and you don't pull their license and pull the car and pull all their privileges? What's wrong with us parents? And nobody pulled his license. Nobody pulled his privileges. He didn't stop at a stop sign pulling out on a major back road. Just like that, he went into eternity. I had to preach his funeral. People were saying, oh, he died so-and-so could come to know Jesus. Don't give me that garbage! Jesus died so you could come to him. He doesn't need you to die for him. And see, I know I'm passionate. But I believe black is black and white is white. And there are no gray areas. And the reason why America has shifted in the last few years is because we've seen gray areas that have been acceptable. Now I believe that God is bringing black and white back into America. And black is not bad and white is not good. I need to say that. I am just saying that there are no gray areas. There are, but there shouldn't be. Living a life of overflow can be confrontational and uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for me to get up at that funeral and say, and I had to say it because so many people were saying it, well, he died so-and-so could. And I said, listen, Jesus Christ died for the sins of all. This young man died. He didn't have to, but he did. And the family has our sympathy. And we're sorrowing with them. We sorrowed over that boy. 16 years old and going into eternity. He could have been the next discoverer of the healer of cancer or AIDS or something. But he died unnecessarily. I didn't say at the funeral, it's up to the parents to take their license. Just let you know. I wasn't that confrontational. The third thing I want you to see, the fourth thing, that was the third thing, living a life of overflow can be confrontational and uncomfortable. The fourth thing about this I want you to see is this, overflow will draw people to Jesus, not me. Right. Yeah. See, I love you, but I don't love me so much that I care what you think about me personally or about my style. I love Jesus more. And I'm not trying to draw you to me. I'm trying to draw you to Jesus. I am trying to raise up a passion inside of you for Jesus because he has a passion for you. And listen, when we understand the passion, Jesus, I love this, and I need to say this. I think the worship all weekend has been phenomenal. I think the praise has been phenomenal. I commend New Life for the Nations for what they've gone through and the focus. It set me free. I mean, it's blessed me. And I thank you for that. Because overflow will draw people to Jesus, not our circumstances. Not us. Verses 21 through 26, let's read that real quick. I'm almost done. It's my first almost done. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me. Oh, wait. Let me read verse 19. The woman said to him, sir, I see and understand that you are a prophet. Our forefathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where it is necessary and proper to worship. This is why I'm bringing this point out. That overflow will direct people to Jesus, not you. Because this woman got in a very uncomfortable situation all of a sudden. All of a sudden, she found herself in a position where she's going, whoa, I'm not sure I like where this is going. Have you men ever been there with your wives? I'm not sure I like where this conversation's going. Let's back up a little bit. Get into safer territory. Am I the only one that's ever done that? Man, I need to learn from y'all. Our forefathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where it's necessary and proper to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither merely in this mountain nor merely in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not know what you are worshiping. Now he was pretty bold, wasn't he? I mean, just being outright honest and saying, you Samaritans, you don't even know what you're worshiping, man. What's the matter with you? And that's the way I try not to be that way too much with people that I work for. I do want to finish the job and get paid. But I do try and let them know that, man, Jesus loves them. And whatever obstacles I have to overcome to reach them, I try to overcome. So Jesus said to her, we do know what we are worshiping. We worship what we have knowledge of and understand. For after all, salvation comes from among the Jews. A time will come, however. Now I love this, how Jesus makes a transition. He gets it back off of the Jews and the Samaritans. How many of you know it's not about you and it's not about me? It's all about Jesus. And what happens is many times we try and make it, well, it's the pastor if he was, or it's the church if they were, or it's my husband, God bless him, but he is just a real jerk. You know, or it's my wife, God bless her, but she's meaner than a snake with the eyes plucked out. Or, you know, it didn't. We try and make it about everything but Jesus. And yet Jesus takes it back real lovingly, but firmly, and he says, let's make this about the kingdom of God again. Not about you, not about me. So this is what he says. A time will come, verse 23, however, indeed it is already here when the true, genuine worshipers, and I love it because he didn't say the true, genuine Jews. He said the true, genuine worshipers. And I love worshiping the Lord. Because he's so lovely. He's so worthy. The worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, reality. For the Father is seeking just such people as these, as his worshipers. God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth and reality. Don't you just love that? Jesus took the whole conversation and immediately took it back to the kingdom of God. See, overflow will draw people to Jesus, not to me. I'm not important. Now, what I say out of the Word of God is, and you need to hear it, but the important one in all of this is Jesus Christ. Yeah. And we wouldn't be here if he didn't have a passion for us. I love that song, He Came Running After Me. You reached down and you picked me up. I love it because he did it. He did it over and over. And I am not, If I was a perfect person, there's no way I could stand up here and say to you, my wife and I have had marriage issues. You know, there's no way. But how many of you know, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to understand that Jesus loves you with a passion. And he's running after you with a passion. And he's going to follow you with a passion. And wherever you go, guess where he's going? He's with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That means if you're out popping pills, illegal pills, guess who you're popping them with? Think about it. Jesus. He didn't leave you. If you're out getting drunker than a skunk, guess who's getting drunk with you? Think about it. Now, I know he's not getting drunk, but he's there with you. Why? Because he's passionate. He's not going to let you go just because you go do something stupid. And sin is stupid, by the way. Just because you go do something stupid, he's not going to let you go and say, well, they're going to do something stupid. I'll just wait out here till they finish their stupid. No, he's not. He's coming in with us stupids. I didn't want to say you stupid. So I said us. He's running with us. He's reaching down. He's always got his arms outstretched. He's always got his arms wrapped around us. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter if you've been through adultery or you've been through fornication. It doesn't matter if you've been through drugs or alcohol. Or it doesn't matter if you murdered somebody, you raped somebody. It doesn't matter what. Jesus still loves you passionately. And I love what Pastor Jerry said this morning. The cross is level. The foot of the cross is level. That means there's nobody better than anybody else. We all come to the same cross. Drop down to verse 39 for me. 29. We're going to skip a couple of verses. For sake of time, this woman, verse 28, the woman then left her water jar and went away to town. And I love this. I love this because This tells me that the passion that Jesus had for her got inside of her. And she went to town and she said, come let me show you. A man has told me everything I've done. Don't you know those people knew everything she did? And you know what? When people, believers and sinners, understand the passion that Jesus has for them, all shame is gone. All shame is gone. Shame keeps believers away from church when they're walking out in sin. But when they understand that Jesus still loves me passionately, He still wraps His arms around me. We have a pastor and a pastor's wife who would weep over you in your deepest sin, and they would still love you with the passion of Jesus. And they would never judge you and say, we don't want to see you again. Get out of our sight. Never. And that passion is in this church. You may not realize it. You may not have let it out in a while. But that same passion that's in the pastors is in the body. And that same passion wants to reach out to other people. Why does it hurt us so much when we have our family members turn their backs on God? And God doesn't turn His back on them, but they turn their backs on Him. Why does it hurt us so much so when that happens? Because we love people with a passion. We love our family. We love our kids. We love our parents. We love our uncles, our aunts. We love our neighbors with a passion. That's why it hurts so much. Well, just allow that passion to flow. Show them. Let them see you cry over them. Let them see you weep over them. Let them see you passionately love them. And then see what God does through your passion that is really His passion just flowing through you. A simple overflow of the passion of Jesus Christ. You want to build a church? Build it with passion. Build it with passion. Passionately love Adair County, Taylor County, Metcalf County, Greene County, and whatever counties I forgot now. Passionately love people. I was on a paint job the other day again, and they had some wallpaper that had to come down. I got in there, and this was nasty. The job was decent until I got over the fireplace mantle. And what's usually above a fireplace, a real wood-burning fireplace? What's usually above it? Huh? Chimney, and well, and a chimney. Well, they didn't know it, but they still had water leaking down their chimney. So how many of you know what happens when wallpaper is, black, mold thick? I mean, it was about a 16-inch thick. Mold, black, solid black mold. Smelled nasty. It was terrible. That's why I charged $30 an hour to remove wallpaper. And I had to use alcohol on it. How many of you know bleach doesn't kill mold? Most people don't realize that. Bleach kills the stain. Alcohol kills the mold spores. So you use alcohol first, and then the next day go and bleach it if you don't like the stain. Serious. Yeah. We've learned that from a mold remediation company. So anyways, I pulled that off, and I said to the woman of the house, I said, I need some alcohol. Do you have any alcohol here? She said, well, I've got some. I've got a little. I said, please get it for me, and she brought it to me, and it was enough to deal with the mold. And of course, it got all over my hands, and I used alcohol on my hands afterwards as well, because I don't want that stuff, mold spores in my skin either. The husband came home, and she was talking to him. I said, it's nothing. It's probably it's not anything. I said, no, you need to get my son to look at the roof, please. Because Joshua is my go-to guy for construction on my paint jobs. When they need a new window put in or a new door set in or a new wall put up, I have Joshua come out and bid it out, and then he always charges them too little, and I get after him for it. But anyways, I said, God wants to bless you. Let Him bless you. Let Him bless you. Thank you. But anyways, the guy, he starts cussing, and he's a good Christian man. He goes to a certain church, belongs to a certain party. political party. That's the word I'm looking for. Belongs to a certain political party. He's very conservative in his stance with politics, but he's very liberal with his cuss words. Doesn't add up, but go, okay. If you're dealing with that, Jesus can deliver you from that too, by the way. It's hard to witness to somebody when you cuss at him every other word. Okay, I'm just being real. Is that all right? So anyways, I thought, you know, he belongs to a, quote, church that has been around for hundreds of years, this denomination. And his church might have started out in Christianity, but I know now the foundation of, or the walls of that church are not Christian anymore, that organization. So I thought, okay, I love this guy, and I'm not going to judge him. How can I reach him with the gospel? Real simple. It's got to be simple and quick because he's one of these guys that's a know-it-all. Yeah. Okay, like me. No. And so I said, we're talking about this black mold, real thick black mold. And I said, yeah, but your wife gave me some alcohol. And I said, you know, that alcohol took that black mold right away. I said, that reminds me of the blood of Jesus. He doesn't just deal with the situation. He deals with the sin itself. And he can clean anything up. Well, you know, I mean, he didn't fall on his knees, but man, I got something out. That guy walked away from there going, ha, I just shared Jesus with him. I just shared salvation with him. He don't know it yet, but he's going to know it. Amen. I'm still working at his house, by the way. So I've got more opportunities. Well, overflow. The fifth thing I want you to see is overflow will change you and others. Let me show you what I mean. Drop down to verse 40. Now remember, 39. Now remember, this woman went in telling everybody, man, Jesus, tell me, I want to tell you what he did for me. He set me free. Yeah, he said he took all the shame away from me. He don't care about my past. He just cares about where I am now. He just cares about my future. He doesn't care what I've been through. He just wants me to know he loves me and he delivered me and he set me free. And she's telling everybody this. And then verse 39 says this. I love this. Now numerous Samaritans from that town believed in and trusted in him because of what the woman said when she declared and testified, he told me everything I ever did. I want you to know something. People will not hear the gospel unless you share the gospel. It's not good enough just to live your life and be sweet and be nice. Listen, there are sinners going to hell every day that are sweet and nice. Sweet, nice people go to hell. Mean, honorary people go to heaven. The difference is the blood of Jesus. Amen. People need to know what your testimony is. That's why I'm saying if we can develop a passion for Jesus, because he's got a passion for us, once we realize his passion for us and what it really involves, it won't be hard to talk to people about Jesus. And they don't need your principles once again. They don't need the 25 steps or 30 steps to living a godly life in spite of the wicked world we're in. They just need Jesus. Amen. They just need your testimony. They need to know if you were a pornographer, they need to know Jesus set me free from pornography. Praise God. I'm no longer involved in it. I don't have it. Amen. Because he loves me. If you were an adulterer, then share it with somebody. Not the opposite sex either, by the way. Use wisdom. People need to know what you've been set free from. They're crying out. The world is crying out, wanting to hear what Jesus did for you. What Jesus did for you. What Jesus did for you and why he did it for you. He didn't do it because he's angry. He did it because of his passion. Draws you. His passion has got a hold of my heart, and he won't let me go. And my God, may we all be like Jeremiah the prophet that says, this word of God is like a fire shut up in my bones. It wasn't an angry word. It was a word of passion that Jeremiah was saying, I've got to speak what God says, speak.
Amen.
Passionately. The last thing, we are coming in for the landing, Dr. Childs. I haven't seen three people fall asleep on the same row yet, and when I see three people sleeping on the same row, I'll quit preaching. The last thing I want us to see today, because if all you get is what we got so far, you've not got a complete picture. I want you to have a complete picture, because Jesus passionately loves you, and he passionately loves the sinner, of which we all were at one time. Last thing, verses 34 through 38. I'm going to read the verses to you before I tell you what it is. Some of you will already figure it out. Verse 33, let's try that. So the disciples said to one another, "Has someone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food or my nourishment is to do the will, pleasure of him who sent me, and to accomplish and completely finish his work. Do you not say, it is still 4 months until harvest time comes?" He says, "Look, I tell you, raise your eyes and observe the fields and see how they are already white for harvesting. Look, don't tell me it's 4 months to the harvest. It's probably 3 months in this area for the corn harvest. I don't know. But look, Jesus is saying the fields are already white. There's people that I passionately love, and they're dying and going to hell because nobody is telling them I passionately love them, that I'm not going to judge them, I'm not going to condemn them, I'm just going to save them. I'm going to redeem them, I'm going to set them free. Don't say there's 4 months. Don't say there's 4 months. Already the reaper is getting his wages. He who does the cutting now has his reward, for he is gathering fruit or crop unto eternal life, so that he who does the planting and he who does the reaping may rejoice together. Jesus is talking to his followers here. And he's saying, look, the harvest is here. New life, I'm telling you, the harvest is here. The world all around us is abundant with sinners that are dying and going to hell every day. Kids getting drunk because they don't know somebody loves them with a passion. They don't know somebody cares about them because nobody's telling them. We fall into this trap of we just need to be a good person and live good and people will see our testimony. Baloney! People would rather see an unrighteous Christian and hear an unrighteous Christian than to hear nothing at all. And when was it bad that people saw our faults and our failures anyways? When was it bad? Tony, you shared your testimony with people. That's how you got them into the kingdom of God. You shared your testimony. When is it bad? Why is it bad? Why have we come to the place where it's bad to let people know? You know, I've had issues in my marriage. I'll be honest with you. And it's my responsibility, too. It's not my wife's. I'll be honest with you there. She's the sweetest thing you've ever wanted. I was the sourest thing you've ever not wanted. I say that humbly, and it's true. But I'm telling you, this isn't about me. This isn't about her. This is about the harvest. Amen. This is about the harvest. Amen. We want our churches to grow. I was a pastor for 13 years. I didn't see what I wanted to see in the ministry. Maybe I can do it this way. Maybe I can get you so stirred up inside of you that you realize that Jesus loves you with such an overwhelming passion, that you will go out and love others with an overwhelming passion. And by the way, be confrontational if you have to. With love, yeah. He
so that he who does the planting and he who does the reaping may rejoice together. For in this the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap a crop for which you have not toiled. Other men have labored and have stepped in to reap the results. You have stepped in to reap the results of their work. Can you see that other people have literally already labored over you? Don't you know if somebody goes out and talks to that man that I talked about the black mold and how Jesus doesn't just deal with the situation, he deals with the sin. Somebody else comes up and says to them, I want you to know Jesus loves you with a passion. Don't you know his heart is already partway open because I said something about the love of Jesus to him? And don't you know that everybody that you come in contact with needs to either hear you plant the seed or you water the seed? You're either a planter or a waterer. Or a reaper. We all want to reap, but we're not going to all be reapers. Some of us just have to be planters. I'll be a planter. But it takes passion. It does. It takes passion. But you can't just say, by faith I've got passion. By faith I've got passion. No. You know how you get passion? You seek the passionate one. You seek the passionate. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you, Father, that your word is one of passion. Father, we've heard so many things this weekend, and they've all turned us to the love of Jesus. Joshua, could you come up on the keyboard, please? Father, I'm asking for a harvest tonight off of this message. Tonight, Lord. That's good, son. Let's just spend a few minutes in the presence of the Lord, because I want to do this the proper way. I believe tonight that God has more than pricked some of our hearts. I believe that the Holy Spirit has come in and in a good way taken our hearts and caused us to see where we've been so full of self. And it's going to be tough. You respond to this, you got a lot of guts. But we've been so full of self that we haven't allowed the passionate love of Jesus to envelop us like he wants to. Therefore, we haven't been able to share his love passionately with other people. If that's you tonight, and you're honest enough to say, Richard, I've been so full of self. I haven't experienced the passion of Jesus for quite a while. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it's not that you're so full of self. Maybe you've dropped back in your relationship with the Lord. You've backed up and said, no, I'm not sure I want this right now, Jesus. Either way, Jesus is passionately waiting for you with arms open wide. Or you're here tonight and you say, brother, I haven't been full of self. I haven't stepped back. But I see something tonight. Something was done in my heart tonight. Something was done that I wanted solidified by the presence of Almighty God. And you would just let us the ministers here lay hands upon you and pray over you. Then I want you to get up out of your seats right now, and I want you to come forward. Come on. Get up. Don't just sit there. You get up and you respond to what the Holy Ghost is saying tonight. Because I believe this message was ordained by God for this place, for this time. It's not good enough to just say, yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah, I can receive that, and then leave without. No, you make it vocal. You let everybody know. You let everybody know that that message grabbed a hold of my heart. And I'm going to be a passionate lover of Jesus because he's a passionate lover of me. And I'm going to be a passionate lover of the people around me in the world. Because Jesus passionately loves me. You see, it's easy for us to just sit in our seats and say, yeah, I receive that. I receive that. I receive that. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough, church. I'm telling you, it's not good enough. I've done that so many times in so many areas of my life. Yeah. Yeah, I received that. That's a good message, Pastor. I received that. But what am I doing about it? Nothing. Because I didn't get up in front of somebody and say, I am going to follow the passion of my heart. Challenging you today. Challenging you today. It's overwhelming. Dr. Childs, Sister Connie, could you come up, please? Pastor, can you come up? Is it possible? Will the sound be okay? You have such a special anointing. When you lay hands on people, it's just like heaven coming down and kissing earth. Maybe everybody ought to be up here. I don't know. You have to decide that. But trust me, if you're not, I believe that you've got everything cleared and it's okay. And that's no judgment here. You just come up if you feel like you're supposed to be here. Before the pastor and Dr. Childs and Sister Connie start praying for you, I want to say something. This church, from this day forward, is going to be a changed church. There's going to be a new passion going out of this building, not just in here, but out there. Out there. And you are going to see this church grow. Not because numbers are important, but let me tell you, numbers are important. God had a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. Got that from there. Numbers are important. People matter to God. Let's go ahead and pray. Overwhelm me. I want to set. Some of the worship team that's not up front here, if you could maybe come up and just play and sing with Joshua, that would be awesome.
This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand.
Father, I
melt in your peace.
Thank you for the passion. Father, that passion is going to relate to other people in a brand new and a fresh way from this day forward.
More I see
in Jesus'
you.
Name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
More
thank
I
you,
find
you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
More I
Father,
find
thank
you.
You. I thank you, Father, for the passion. That's
the more I more I seek you.
Bring freedom to her coworkers. Freedom to her friends.
The more I find you.
Freedom. Jesus.
The more Jesus. I find you.
Now you can be with me.
The more I love you.
God, thank you. I want to
lay back against you and breathe.
Father, the passion of Jesus.
Fill your heart beat.
She's going to go out and share that passion.
This love is so
deep. Lord, she's
going
to see people come into the kingdom
it's
because of that passion.
It's more than I could stand.
Father, she's going to see people set free and healed and delivered because of that passion. She's going to see people weeping in the presence of God because of the goodness of God, because of how much they experience the love of God. But it's going to start with her. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
The more I find you,
thank you, Father. Thank you,
the more I love you. More I seek you.
Father, I thank you, Lord.
The more I find
the passion that's going to rise up inside of him like he's never before experienced.
The more I find you.
A fresh passion. Lord.
The
passion.
The more I love
you. The more I seek you. He may not be like me. He don't have to be.
More I see.
But Jesus, he's going to be like you. And he's going to share that passion that you have for him. He's going to share it with others. And he's going to see people coming into the kingdom of God because of that passion.
The more I find you. The more I love you.
That passion is going to drive away fear or timidity.
The more I seek you.
I'm
seeking you, Lord.
It will, I promise you.
The more I find
you. I promise you.
Thirsty for you, God.
Father,
the more I find
thank you for a brother who's willing to say,
drink of the living water.
Allow the passion of Jesus to flow through me.
The more I love you. Yeah. I want to sit at your feet. From the cup.
Is going to bring people into the kingdom of God. More. More. More passion. Because Jesus, you love her so passionately. You love her so passionately. And I know she's already a passionate lover of others, but that passion is just going to increase exponentially. And Jesus, that passion is going to set people free. That passion is going to see people out in the world healed. That passion is going to see people who are saved, delivered. Just falling in love with Jesus. Just falling in love with Jesus. There's a passion. There's a passion. There's a passion. There's a passion rising up in the church today. There's a passion for the way the Lord sees the world today. There's a passion rising up in the world today. There's a passion for Jesus. passion for Jesus Christ. Tony and Delita, will you come up here, please? And I need to announce this. Dr. Childs and Sister Connie, they would be honored to speak prophetically over anybody's life whom you want. This is not about me. This is not about anybody, but this is about the church right now, and it's about the world out there. So whatever you need, please ask. Dr. Childs made this invitation this morning, and I think he made it very clear. And Sister Connie.